Good morning. I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. And Brian's not the only one taking a break in August. Congress is in recess, and we're taking the opportunity to check in with members of the area delegation. This morning, we will be joined by Congresswoman Yvette Clark of the 11th District in Brooklyn. We will hear from her about what her constituents are saying about the big topic on Capitol Hill, health care reform. Here's a sampling of some of the angry outbursts at town hall meetings around the country from Fox News Sunday.
Under the Obama health care plan, which you support, this man would be given no care whatsoever.
We're not going to stand for this status quo anymore.
Wow, some angry folks out there. What do you think? Are you upset about the pace of health care reform, about the plans that are currently being floated for a public option, or are you angry about these angry outbursts? And do you think that they've overtaken the debate on health care reform? We are taking your calls, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You can also comment on the Brian Lehrer Show page at WNYC.org. Listeners, we are especially interested in hearing from you if Congresswoman Yvette Clark is your representative in Brooklyn. 212-433-WNYC. Congresswoman Clark joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Fine, thanks. So you may have heard, certainly you've heard in the news this some of these raucous town hall meetings that your colleagues have been experiencing recently. Representative Frank Cradaville hung an effigy. Texas Representative Lloyd Doggett followed to his car and blocked from leaving. What have you been experiencing?
Well, I've been getting very positive encouragement and feedback from my constituency in the 11th Congressional District. I think that folks in the district have been very in tune with the need for health care reform for quite some time. I mean, the various testimonials that I've been receiving just in talking with people casually are heart-wrenching, you know. Folks not receiving adequate care for themselves and their children, and really being at the mercy of insurance carriers that are not the primary deliverers of health care, but the financial interests that get in the way.
Congresswoman Clark, have you had any town hall meetings since the recess began?
We intend to do ours on September 31st and on August 31st and September 1st. So we're in the process of sort of organizing, getting word out into the community. Because I think what's most important for my constituency is that they know the details within the reform bill. Because I think in all of the debate that's going on right now, that is the one element that's missing.
You signed a letter as part of the Congressional Progressive Congress saying you wouldn't support the compromise bill put forward by the Commerce Committee. And let's talk about some of these details. Why did you sign that letter? What are you concerned about with that particular bill?
I am concerned, and my colleagues in the Progressive Caucus are concerned, that there's a move afoot to eliminate the public plan or public option from a health care reform bill. And quite frankly, it is that public option, public plan that keeps the bill honest. You know, for too long, we have, you know, enabled the insurance carriers to, you know, basically set the rates. And to create what has become an untenable situation with regards to the cost to our healthcare delivery system. And there has to be, I believe, a nonprofit entity, such as a public plan, that drives costs down, that creates a competitive element that will enable people to get quality health care, but at a fraction of the cost.
Are you sticking with that? You would vote against health care reform if the public option isn't what you hoped for?
Yes. Yes. Oh. Even a watered-down version, it has to be competitive in order for it to work. You know, we recognize that there are people, as our president, President Obama has said, who are fine with their health care plans and the delivery of health care services. And we want, you know, folks to feel confident that they can keep that plan. But for those who are underinsured, those who are struggling with high premiums and deductibles, we want to be able to drive that cost down. And the only way you do that is to enter a public plan into the equation and really look for efficiencies and reduction in the cost of administering health care.
So what did you think of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's comment late last week, where she said, to much laughter among the press corps, a progressive Democrat is not going to vote against health care reform?
Well, you know, I'm sure that they're going to work to make sure that all of the progressives in our caucus are satisfied with the bill that comes out. You know, she's the speaker, and she has to speak in generalities. I can only speak for myself and for what my constituents expect in a health care plan. And they expect that there will be a public plan.
I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Brian Lehrer this morning. I'm joined by Congresswoman Yvette Clark. She represents the 11th District in Brooklyn. And we're getting a sense of what her constituents think about the current reform plans being offered and what she thinks of these reform plans. We're taking your calls, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, in particular hoping to get constituents from Congresswoman Clark's district. Congresswoman, as a member of the Small Business Committee, are you paying particular attention to how health care reform will affect small business?
Yes. I mean, I'm very focused on that because we know that small business in the aggregate is the largest employer of Americans. And they, too, have been struggling to provide access for care for their employees. So, you know, I'm very, very focused on what the plan provides. And I think that we've been able to create a balance and a win-win. You know, this plan, as is in bill form at this stage, calls for what we call a health care exchange. And it would enable employers to apply for a hardship waiver so that their employees can access health care through the health exchange. Right now, nothing is offered to an employer if they can't afford it, if their bottom line doesn't accommodate the expense of a health care plan for their employees. So we're looking at, you know, what it means to enable employers, regardless of the size of the business, to access a health care plan. And I think that this bill definitely provides for that.
So would this, are we talking about federal subsidies to support small business owners in buying coverage? And are we also talking about an option that if they choose not to buy coverage for their employees, that they pay a fee or a fine?
Right. Well, there are two different ways. First of all of the health care coverage actually goes to the individual, so that the employee would be enabled to go into the exchange and shop for the best plan that they feel fits their needs. That could be the public plan. It could be a private plan. And they would be subsidized based on their income. The employer, however, also could purchase a bulk plan for all of their employees. And if failing at either, that's when we would be looking at any type of penalty that would be applied. Because let's bear in mind, and I think most Americans are aware of this, but we still want to keep it in the consciousness of everyone. We are all paying for the antiquated nature in which we deliver health care right now, and that is through the use of our emergency rooms, which is catastrophic unto itself, alongside the escalating costs of health care. So we want to be able to redirect those dollars in a way in which it makes more sense in terms of preventative care and subsidy and other ways of making sure that we cover as many Americans as possible.
Now, I know we just covered the fact that you're opposed to the Blue Dog Democrat compromise. Here's Howard Dean's take on the House bill. He says the compromise with Blue Dog Democrats have made the bill better for small businesses.
This bill is terrific for small business, and the Blue Dogs made it a better bill, and I hope by the time it gets through, it gets even better. Right now in the House bill, if you have a payroll, if you're a small business with a payroll of less than $500,000, you have no responsibility whatsoever to give your employees health insurance. That's now becomes a subsidy based on your income, and then you can choose either a private or a public sector. This is choice. This is real choice.
Do you agree that this bill has become better for small businesses as a result of the Blue Dog Democrat compromise?
I think that the Blue Dog compromise is missing an element, and that is the public plan. Certainly, we want to make sure that we're covering small businesses. But at the same time, the element of competition that is required to drive down costs is missing under their plan. So we got to create a win-win here. We want to make sure that small business owners and their employees are accessing this plan without undue hardship. And we want to create competition in the market that drives down costs. And so I think that there will have to be a revisiting of the current proposal through Bill 3200, H.R. 3200, to accommodate both.
Is the public option that you're talking about also necessary for the small business component, or are we really just talking there about individuals who are uninsured?
I think that it definitely works for small business because of it works in collaboration with the exchange that is created to enable Americans to shop for the best plan that fits their needs. And without that public plan, you're basically talking about business as usual. The exchange is not as effective for particularly those who may be sole proprietors or those who, are individuals who are struggling, to keep their head above water, who are working for employees that don't even offer health care currently.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is just an element that I believe is so essential because it really provides a health care insurance option that doesn't exist and that will then create a competition in the market so that we don't see the type of collusion that has been taking place historically among for-profit healthcare insurance plans.
I want to ask you one more angle on small businesses and healthcare reform before moving to some calls. Mayor Bloomberg yesterday on Meet the Press was also talking about small businesses.
We're trying to focus on helping small businesses by reducing their taxes and giving them loan programs, training people for the jobs that are available, not necessarily the jobs they had, making sure that when the other industries come back, the people that we need will be there.
So there's Mayor Bloomberg. Do you believe the city is doing enough for small businesses?
Well, I believe that the city has spoken about doing a lot for small businesses. It's all in the implementation. And small businesses are really struggling right now with the credit crunch. I'm hoping that the proposals that the mayor is talking about when implemented will bring the type of relief to small businesses that they really require. But from what I'm hearing, many businesses are really just barely keeping their head above water in this economy.
Let's take some calls. Yoram from Riverdale, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a very apropos discussion you're having right now. I'm self-employed as an attorney for 25 years, actually 30 years. I've worked for government, and I've been self-employed for 25 years. I'd like to make these points, if I may. First, I'm very bothered and angry that civil discourse is not occurring in this discussion. And in my opinion, it's because as a result of the selfishness of the people who are screaming and yelling the loudest, there are people who have self-serving interests and they don't want to have an open discussion. No matter where it goes, at least we should be able to talk to each other. The other thing I'd like to say is that the medical care system, the payment system, in my opinion, is broken and it's a total wreck due to failure of honest discussion occurring. When I was a child, and I'll finish up, when I was a child, medical insurance was obtained to pay for high-cost, catastrophic medical care. The patients would pay from their own salaries and wages directly to the general practitioner or doctor. But since the 1960s, what we now have isn't a large number of people who demand entitlements for health care benefits without paying for it. And just as one example, my understanding is we've gone down from 25% of the people in New York City being on social services to 20%. And I've been practicing for over 25 years, and I've represented many of those people. And I know that so much of it is a farce and a lie, that people who are getting benefits are in fact working off the books and doing other things, but they've gamed the system, they're working the system, so that not only do they get Section 8 housing subsidies, but they also get medical benefits. And you've also got people who are not even paying any taxes whatsoever,
Yoram, and are here illegally,
who are getting medical coverage that everyone else is paying for. And these are the open discussions that should occur.
Thank you. He made a lot of points there. One particular issue about fraud and people gaming the system. What role do you feel that that plays in health care reform and in keeping costs down? It's something that everybody seems to point to, that if we could just get the scammers out of here, we'd save billions and billions of dollars. But that never quite seems to be a goal that we achieve. Do you think that more of that kind of reform needs to be written into these bills?
Well, I think that certainly with the new health care reform bill proposal that we have before us, we will be there'll be a lot more transparency that will enable us to capture those who are, gaming the system. The idea, however, is to cover as many Americans as possible, and as many amongst us as possible. And I'll tell you why. You know, we're in the process of experiencing a health care pandemic with regards to H1N1, which is something that is airborne and can be transmitted from one person to another. Those who show up in our emergency rooms cost us 10 times more than those who would be able to go see a local physician, attend a community health care center, go to a community health care center. We have to bear in mind that our health care delivery system is not a closed system. We are always going to be paying for individuals who are uninsured until we get to the point where we are talking about being our brother's keeper. And I think the caller raised one issue in his comment that I wanted to address, which is the selfish nature by which a lot of this debate is taking place. We're leaving ourselves vulnerable to all kinds of health care vulnerabilities when we don't look at the fact that we have to be our brother's keeper in order to really have a developed and healthy civil society. The cost for childhood obesity alone is something that will escalate if we don't look at preventative care, proper nutrition, annual checkups, things of this nature that monitors the health and well-being of all Americans.
I'm speaking with Congresswoman Yvette Clark. I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Brian Lehrer on The Brian Lehrer Show. I wanted to get to another call. Declan from Montclair, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Declan.
Hi. Thank you. I just want to say I agree with the congressman. Without the public pay option, it will be very difficult to get the kind of reform that we need in pricing. I'm a small business owner, and the price of health care for my 10 employees is really crippling what we're able to do. And if it continues to rise at the rate it is, I don't know what I'm going to do in about 2 years from now. But that wasn't really the reason I called. It is the negative are those people who are negative about changing the healthcare system seem to be getting an inordinate amount of coverage. I mean, you chose to open your segment with a shouting match at some congressman's show. There is so much negative and bad practices within the system itself and how it affects people who actually use the system, this private system that we have right now, that I don't see a lot of in-depth coverage on the negative parts of what we have. I mean, when you talk to people, you hear them complaining about government telling them where to go. But right now we have HMOs telling us where to go. Mm-hmm. I was in a meeting this morning, and I'll tell a quick antidote. One of the people at the meeting said his son, they were down the beach, fell, broke his arm, got a compound fracture. He brought him, called the insurance company, said, I'm going to an emergency room. They said, that's fine. But then when he put in his insurance claim, they refused to pay it because they said it really wasn't an emergency and he should have driven his son 2.5 hours to a hospital which was within network. I mean, that's the system we have today. Mm-hmm. It's not very efficient. I think we're 27th in healthcare, 50th in mortality. So we don't really have a great system.
Declan, let me get Congresswoman Clark's response to that. Thanks for your call. Congresswoman Clark, do you agree with Declan that the coverage of the negative aspects of the debate have sort of taken over?
I think that they have certainly been much more organized in terms of rallying, support for what I believe is really false information that's fueling, people's anger right now. I think if a lot of those folks would just stop and take a look at what they're experiencing, whether it's their prescription drug coverage that is sinking them in terms of cost, or it's their ability to get the type of care that they need when they need it, they have to admit that we do not have a really good modern-day 21st century healthcare delivery system. I mean, the testimonials, one that you just heard, are very common.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's another negative aspect of the healthcare debate that we've been hearing for a long, long time.
Exactly, and we have not really been as good as they have in getting our message out. Mm-hmm. Those who are actually using the system and have had to, basically go bankrupt in order to stay afloat.
Congresswoman Clark, I'm wondering, part of the difficulty in this debate is there are so many options on the table. President Obama left it up to Congress to come up with a plan rather than setting up a plan himself and have Congress tweak it. You're hearing about a lot of different things. It's very confusing. What do you think of your colleague, Congressman Anthony Weiner, and his idea for a single-payer plan, something that everybody can understand, easily grasp onto, rather than these different, this public option and this small business insurance consortium and all of these different little pieces and parts?
Well, that is actually, in my estimation, the best way for us to go. And I was proud to have voted for an amendment in the Education and Labor Committee that would actually enable states to make the determination about whether they wanted to join the exchange program or to set up their own single-payer program. And what I found in my constituency in particular is that there's a much more informed movement towards single-payer. Now, I'm balancing my my concerns about passing health care reform with what the president has set up as parameters. And we all have to remember that he initially has stated that he would like those who currently have health care insurance and are happy with it to be able to keep it. And so that's, to me, where the public option comes in.
Mm-hmm.
The public option would then enable people who are not happy with their current health care, who are not receiving health care currently, to then go in and create the type of plan that would be best for them and their family. So there is the choice element that is there that I think is, second best to having a single-payer option.
Well, couldn't we have a single-payer and still have the system that we have, that, Blue Cross Blue Shield, maybe?
Model?
Where they're the front, they're the face of the federal government.
Right.
They, in turn, turn around to the federal government to pay the claims. They vet the claims, and then they get the money from the federal government to pay those claims.
Well, when you think about it, Medicare is a similar model. And what we're talking about with regards to the public option, it would be based similarly to what people have known as the nonprofit Blue Cross model. I think it's the best of both worlds. With Congress, you're dealing with a whole host of different philosophies.
That's for sure.
And on the one hand, exactly, you have the Blue Dog Coalition that is totally market-driven. And on the other hand, you have the progressives, such as Congressman Weiner and myself,
mm-hmm.
who have a preference for a single-payer system, and in my case, have said, let's try to find the best way of creating a win-win scenario here. You can keep your private sector market-driven system, but couple that
right.
with a single-payer system if selected by states, or with a system that offers a public option.
Congresswoman Clark, one last brief question. You chair what's called the Subcommittee on Emerging Threats, Cybersecurity, Science, and Technology. That's a mouthful. What can you tell us about the cyber attack last week that downed Twitter?
Well, what we do know is that there are elements out there globally that look to do what is called a denial of service to, you know, basically extort. It can be an extortion ring where they're trying to get funds from a private corporation to bring their systems back up. At worst, it could be an infiltration of trying to steal intellectual property or actually do harm to our nation. So we're very focused on developing the technologies needed to try to trace and track where these attacks are coming from and the motive behind them. And this is really an emerging area of expertise that we have to become much more conscious of as a civil society. Just about everything we do is now tied to the internet and the basic infrastructure called the cloud that that enables us to communicate one with another through technology.
Well, we hope to have you on in the future to speak more in depth about what you're learning as part of your subcommittee assignment. Congresswoman Yvette Clark from the 11th District in Brooklyn, a Democrat, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Amy, thank you for having me, and thank the listeners for tuning in on the healthcare debate. And I want to just, in closing, say that if we can get as many testimonials in about the need for healthcare reform, what people have actually experienced out there with regard to their hardships and their challenges with the current system, that will help to strengthen the Congress to do the right thing. And I hope that those voices will be heard in this debate as we go back into session in September.
Okay, Congresswoman Clark, have a great day. Up next, we will hear from one of the lawyers representing Guantanamo Bay detainees. Tomorrow, more habeas corpus hearings are happening. Stay with us.